Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, daddy soda time. And next week, we'll be drinking some real daddy sodas, watching college football. Cannot wait to break down some of the opening weekend games with my buddy Fran Duffy from PhiladelphiaEagles.com at FDuffy3 on Twitter next week. We will have actual games to break down. Fran, get excited.
Dude, I am beyond excited. And I'm also excited because I just, as you know, I just moved into a new house and just this weekend finished up my spot, my cave down in the basement where I plan on watching a majority of college football. My wife said, "Oh, well, when do games start?" And I said, "Oh, next week." And she could not believe it when I told her that the season was already here. So I'm very, very excited to get started.
Yeah, well, and honestly, man, there's a great week one slate of games. So it's going to be tough for us to decide which games to break down next week. It's not tough to decide which conference to finish it off with. It's the SEC. There's a very good reason for that. Year in and year out, that conference produces the most NFL caliber talent. I don't think this year is really any different. So without further ado, let's dive in.
Best available interview.
Well, how about this? Not only is it SEC Day, which is a big day here on the College Draft Podcast, but it's also special guest day where we are joined by none other than Mike Golic Jr., the former Notre Dame Fighting Irish starting offensive lineman, bounced around the NFL for a couple years. You can check him out on Twitter at MGolicJr57. He's got his own national ESPN radio show already, which is probably a record for someone that's like 25 years old, which is pretty crazy. Mike, how old are you? It's Ross and Fran. Thanks for coming. How old are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm actually 26, so I appreciate you shaving the year off for me. I'm about to be 27 in September, but yeah, it still feels a little bit on the young end for me, especially in this industry.
Still amazing that you already have your own national ESPN show. You do a great job. I listen sometimes very early in the morning. And now you're also a part of the Huddle Pass Network. Let me know a little bit more about that. I'm just starting to hear about this. Sounds cool.
Yeah, it is. So it really is. And I mean, you know, Ross, I certainly have enjoyed your work for a long time because it takes people, you know, inside the huddle. It takes them inside the locker room and allows them to get a view of the things that we saw up close and personal. And that's what the Huddle Pass is really trying to build there. It's a network of former college players from schools across the country, across the various conferences, that are really just trying to take fans of those given teams and football fans in general inside the mind of the players that they're watching each and every Saturday in college football. And the one I'm on, the ACC huddle there, we obviously specialize in that conference and getting people caught up to date on the headlines in and out for the week that are going on there, the top teams and players from that conference, et cetera. But just overall, we try and bring people where they can't go normally, which, again, I know is something you're certainly familiar with, and it's been a fun experience so far with those guys.
Awesome. And I know it's daily, and you got every conference is covered. It's very, very cool. And I know you're specializing in the ACC over there, but we happened to do the ACC last week, and I know the SEC guys we want to ask you about, you know very well. So I'll start with Leonard Fournette, because I think it's been interesting, Mike. You know, I'm starting to see people that are saying Dalvin Cook might be a better running back, or other guys are more three down guys. What do you see when you see Leonard Fournette?
I see Leonard Fournette in a guy who doing what he's asked to do for that offense, because people are going to talk about the three down aspect and wanting to see guys pass protect, which, listen, as a former offensive lineman, nothing gets me going quite like running backs and pass pro, but this guy is asked to carry the bulk of the load for them on offense. Their identity has always been on the ground, but here it runs through him, and he just does it in a way that no one else can. Physically, the things he's capable of, the way you see him constantly shrug off bodies and really at times make something out of nothing with that offense. They've had a good group up front there leading the charge for him. But at the end of the day, he's been able to will that team through a lot of these performances that we've seen out of him. He's just such a unique talent there. That's sort of in the same vein you look forward in the NFL, a guy like Adrian Peterson, who I don't think anyone's going to laud AP's pass protection and all the things that he does, but he's such a unique talent in what he's able to do for you in the run game on the downs you need him, that you're able to maybe overlook those areas where, yeah, you might want a more complete, well-rounded guy for maybe someone who's less talented to the extreme that a Leonard Fournette is.
Mike, let's go over to the SEC East, where I think a lot of people are very excited to see how Nick Chubb from Georgia responds coming off the ACL tear. How close is the gap between Chubb and Fournette? And for those that haven't seen Chubb play, some of our listeners, give a quick scouting report what you've seen from Nick Chubb throughout his career with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Nick Chubb's another one of those guys, a great downhill runner. He's a guy that runs extremely hard, and you know that's part of also the identity that they've built there in Georgia, and we even saw that in his absence with Sony last year, the ability to have another talented runner like that come in. But there's still no replacing the production that Nick Chubb gave you in that offense. And listen, while physically he may not blow you away as much as, let's say, Leonard Fournette, he's still imposing enough. I mean, we're talking about a guy 5'10", 220, so still a thick and solid back and a guy that can give you that production. We talk about, you know, the best thing running backs can do, always falling forward, always being that guy to be the hammer at the end of plays. And I feel like Nick Chubb can give you a lot of that.
Let's talk about the only position that really matters, Mike. And you and I both know that Chubb and these other guys get all of the credit. But I'm actually going to go with Ethan Pochick of LSU. And I don't, you know, I'm not looking for you to evaluate him as much as a guy that played inside and played multiple positions inside. What are your thoughts on a guy at 6'6 playing center like Pochick?
Well, it's always interesting because you just think from a leverage standpoint, it may even put you at a disadvantage. We sort of see the height bow up as you get further up outside the line for obvious reasons. But inside, we know some of the defensive tackles, especially at the college level, are a little shorter, a little stockier. Now, that might change at the next level that he's looking towards. But for now, having to try and keep your body low, keep those angles low to get underneath guys and dig them out on the inside, especially in the SEC where we know it's such a dogfight in those front sevens there, that you'd think that would put him at a bit of a disadvantage. Now, his career thus far and the way we're projecting this year seems to go right against that and certainly has used it to his advantage in a lot of regards, but you're not used to seeing that kind of size out of a guy that's going to play in such tight quarters in there.
So, Mike, one guy that I was really excited to kind of dig into during my film study was Cam Robinson from Alabama. Obviously a huge name, five-star recruit, number one tackle in the country coming out of high school. Gave up a lot of sacks last year. And I know he's a big name, and he is very talented. But what have you seen from Cam Robinson during his time in Alabama? And look, there's the off-field questions as well. But what have you seen from Robinson on the field? What can fans expect out of him moving forward throughout the draft process?
Well, I think, like you said, there's an extreme talent, especially athletically, but you want to see guys refine that. And you bring up the off-the-field thing because it's interesting. I think a lot of times, while it's not maybe a total correlation, causation thing, there's something to be said for making sure that your house is in order and how that translates to the way you handle business on the field as far as attention to detail, doing all those little things that make you a master of your craft the way we see some guys, especially for the tackle position. I always go back to the guy I played with the majority of my time at Notre Dame, and Zach Martin, who maybe didn't have a lot of these elite physical tools that we see a guy like Robinson have, but was such a student of the game and so dedicated to the ins and outs of his craft, all the technique aspects of it that Ross can surely tell you about, that he was able to not only overcome some of those maybe physical deficiencies, but just thrive and dominate because of all those things. And for a guy like Cam now in this next year, if he can continue to put that stuff together in addition to all the elite physical tools that he's got, it's one of those guys you salivate thinking about because we already know he's going to be a first-round guy. We already know he's going to be that highly picked, but the sky's the limit for how good he can truly be once all of those things become as refined as the natural gifts that he has.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, because I'm listening to you talk, and we're going to get into the rest of the SEC this morning as we record the College Draft podcast, including Jalen Tabor from Florida, who's been suspended for the first game. I guess he got in a fight with his teammate. Now they're going on social media back and forth. Like, I'll never understand it. Like, this kid is, I don't know what, 7 months away from being rich as hell, and he's doing stuff like this. Like, I'll never get it. Like, if he just did nothing wrong and just played well this year and didn't do anything dumb for 7 or 8 weeks, I mean, 7 or 8 months, he'd be set. I mean, he'd be totally set. I'll never understand that mindset and how these guys can't realize how dumb this stuff is that they get into, the social media stuff, and how it doesn't help them. It blows me away. It's a really good point you make about professionalism, having your house in order. I haven't seen to this point anything negative about the last guy we wanted to ask you about in Myles Garrett. All I've seen is him just pretty much kick ass every time he plays.
It really is. And you want to talk about the DN tandem they have there at Texas A&M. It opens it up even more for a guy like that that we already know, like you said, has been out there just taking names and stomping mud holes in guys. And you talk about maybe the best defensive end tandem in all of college football, let alone in the SEC. And we know in college football, I feel like the biggest premium outside of maybe star quarterbacks and guys that are really at that elite level that can take over a team are pass rushers, much the same way as it is in the NFL, but at least then you're drawing from this whole talent pool. It's so hard to strike and find great dominant pass rushers in the college ranks. So when you get a guy like Myles Garrett on your team, it gives you a chance every single week, because you know as well as I do on defense, you know, offense, especially in the O-line, you need 5 guys working in concert and doing everything right together for the play to have success. On defense, if the rest of those guys bust and Myles Garrett still gets through and sacks the quarterback, you've got a 5-yard loss and you're looking at second and long already for the offense. So having a game changer like that in the college ranks is as valuable as it'll be anywhere in football.
Mike, really appreciate the time. I'm excited to check out the Huddle Pass Network at some point. Your tweets are awesome, at mgolickjr57. Appreciate you hopping aboard and the insight today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Always good catching up.
Pretty awesome getting the insight of somebody else's perspective. A guy like Mike Golick Jr. really, really enjoyed that. Almost as much as I enjoy when you guys go to rostucker.com and click on the Amazon banner ad. Look, there's a bunch of sponsors there. Go to rostucker.com, click on the sponsors. We got 3 or 4 new ones recently that really, really cool deals. Audible has a free trial. The Great Courses Plus has a free trial. And of course, even if all you do to show that you love the podcast is click on the Amazon banner ad before you buy something on the Amazon that you're going to get anyway, that is huge for us and much, much appreciated. It's Daddy Soda time, Bright.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, so before we break down these guys, Fran, give us a little refresher course on the Daddy Soda ranking system.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because we are going to cover a ton of players in the next 20 minutes or so. Real quick, Daddy Sodas, 1 through 5. 5 Daddy Sodas is an early starter, potential Pro Bowl talent. That's a blue chip prospect. 4 Daddy Sodas could start early, and he should be a very productive NFL player down the line. We're talking about a potential Pro Bowl quality talent in time. 3 Daddy Sodas, it should be a starter within his first 3 years. He has a key flaw that he's going to need to overcome, but he should be a solid NFL player. 2 Daddy Sodas is more of a backup. Shouldn't start unless he's forced in there for injury. More of a backup player. And then a 1 Daddy Soda is a fringe roster player or a training camp body. You don't want to be a 1 Daddy Soda player, Ross.
No. Are you saying that I was, Fran? Is this a reference
to me?
No,
I didn't say that. You just said
I played
it,
7 years. You probably would have graded me out as a 1. I played 7 years, you jerk.
I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I like it. I like it. All right, well, let's start with the quarterback position in the SEC, which hasn't been great a lot of times. But there is a guy getting a lot of buzz, it seems like, from some of the prognosticators out there, Fran, and it's Chad Kelly from Ole Miss.
Yeah, and Kelly, look, he's just under 6'2", 211 pounds. So we'll see if that size or the lack of it comes back to bite him as we get through the draft process next spring. But he's got some natural talent. He's not afraid to turn it loose. But at the end of the day, he's an undersized passer. He's got light feet, but very little pocket poise. You know, he made some wild plays last year as a junior. But I need to see more consistent play in the pocket in 2016 before I say that he's a quality draft prospect. Right now, in my mind, he's more in that 1.5 to 2 Daddy Soto range. I don't even know if he's a solid number two backup at this point in his career. I want to see a lot more consistency again inside the pocket from Chad Kelly this fall.
Any other quarterbacks in the SEC that really jump out to you?
Yeah, there's two, and one is a senior, and that's Josh Dobbs from Tennessee. A lot of expectations for the Volunteers this fall. A lot of people picking them to win the SEC East. He's just under 6'3", 210 pounds. Dobbs has a strong arm. He's got a quick release. If you've watched him play, you know he's really athletic, and they use him in a lot of different ways to get him out in space. But right now, as a passer, he needs things simplified for him. He's got natural tools, but he lacks true quarterback skill in the pocket, much like what we were just talking about with Kelly. Looks more like a developmental prospect right now for the next level, barring major improvements this year. I think he's in that 2 Daddy Soto range. I can't give him more than a backup grade right now, but I really like the physical skill set. And then another guy whose physical skill set I really like is Brandon Harris from LSU, 6'3", 188 pounds. He's a junior, a little bit on the lighter side for a quarterback, but I think there's a lot of tools to work with there. He's got a huge arm. He's got light feet. He takes care of the football. He doesn't force many throws into tight coverage. I mentioned Chad Kelly made some wow plays. Brandon Harris made some wow plays. Like this kid, there was some of that I can remember against Alabama. It was 3rd and forever, late in the first quarter, backed up on his own 2-yard line. Harris drops back and he fires the ball 7 yards deep in his own end zone to his wide receiver on the opposite side, outside the numbers, over the defender on a line where only his man could get it. It was a beautiful ball. Wasn't a bucket throw. He threw it on a line drive, 43 yards in the air from the opposite hash. His issues, though, consistent accuracy in ball placement. He was erratic at times, and that's an issue. His touch was very up and down, and honestly, it was probably more down than up. And his mind, Ross, it always seems to be either moving too fast, and he looks hurried or rushed, or too slow, and he's too slow to get from progression A to B. So nice developmental prospect right now. I really like the tools. But like these other guys, I can't say that he's more than a backup right now. I would say he's probably in that 2 Daddy Soto realm. He needs to be much more consistent with his accuracy and his play inside the pocket. But the tools are definitely there for something down the road.
Let's go to the running back position. We already touched on Fournette and Chubb. We've talked about them quite a bit. Anybody else in the SEC? Obviously, there's a big boy at Tennessee.
Yeah, and that backfield in Tennessee is a lot of fun to watch. And we talked about Dobbs. He's a big part of that run game. But the man that you want to watch is Jalen Hurd, 6'3", 242 pounds, huge kid, competitive runner, and more of a track runner, honestly. He's best fit, in my mind, for a zone run scheme at the next level. Showed a good feel for those types of schemes in college. He won't be a fit for everybody, but I really like his vision. He's really well-rounded, and he can step in right now and play in the NFL because of his abilities on third down, both as a receiver, where I thought he had really natural ball skills, as well as a blocker. And he really uses his size to his advantage in pass pro. One of the better pass pro backs in this draft. Still, athletic ability, more of the lateral quickness, a little bit of a question mark for me right now. I would put him in that 3.5 Daddy Soto range. I do see NFL starting running back in Jalen Hurd. Really fun player to watch. I really enjoyed watching him. And then also in the backfield with him is Alvin Kamara, who's a junior. He's built a little bit differently. He's 5'10", 215 pounds. He transferred from Alabama, went to junior college, ended up at Tennessee. He brings the most value in space. That's how Tennessee uses him, and that's how his future NFL team can use him if he keeps his head on straight. Love his athletic ability. He was named a captain, so that's a good sign as far as how he's got things squared away off the field. But I just don't think he's ever going to be a feature back in the NFL in a traditional sense. He doesn't have the great vision, and like I said, he doesn't have the body, the build of a sustainer, but I still think he can be an impact player three Daddy Sodas right now. Again, if you can take advantage of his abilities in space, he's a fun player to watch.
Moving on to receiver, Fran, it's interesting because maybe two of the biggest names at the position in the SEC, Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley, aren't even draft eligible yet.
Yeah, you know, Ridley from Alabama has made a ton of big plays, especially down the stretch last year. And Christian Kirk, I mean, you brought him up. It was the week one last year. You were there for Texas A&M, Arizona State. And I remember how much you glowed about Christian Kirk and how explosive that kid is. But there's a couple other players on that Texas A&M roster at the receiver position. They've really done a good job collecting talent. The first one that I'll bring up is Ricky Seals-Jones, who is a big, strong kid, Ross. I mean, rare size to position, 6'5", nearly 240 pounds. Flashes sticky hands. You know, he flashes the ability to pluck the ball away from his frame. But right now, he has yet to prove to be a good enough route runner in my mind or consistent enough at the catch point. A lot of focus drops both this year and last year. I've watched him now going back to his freshman season. I don't know. And honestly, watching him run, I kind of think that he might be more of a tight end project than a wide receiver. And that's going to be the question. I'll be interested to see how the narrative changes with Ricky Seals-Jones throughout the process, because I know some have him ranked very, very highly outside at wideout. So I'll be very interested to see where he ultimately ends up going. I could see him being kind of a matchup guy inside, maybe like a Marcus Colston, but I still think more of a two Daddy Soda guy as a wide receiver. But on the outside, I was impressed with Josh Reynolds, who's going to be a senior this year. Much more intriguing, 6'4", 191, big target, really reliable hands, very consistent, great ball skills, very natural going up and attacking the football. He shows flashes of being a really good prospect. Can he take the next step as a route runner? Can he get better against press coverage? That's the question I've got with him. If he can, I think he's going to be a starter on the outside. I would say he's in that 3.5 Daddy Soda range. And then you look at the rest of the conference. You know, Tennessee's got a kid, Josh Malone, that has been impressive, 6'3", 200 pounds, similar to Reynolds in that he's got the physical tools. He's got starting upside. Really excited about what I saw last year from his sophomore tape. I want to see him take the next step again as a route runner and against press coverage and prove that he's got that killer instinct to be the guy on the outside, because Tennessee lost a lot of upperclassmen in the receiving core last year. Can he step up and be the guy for Josh Dobbs on the perimeter? Can he improve as a route runner? Can he be a little bit more consistent across the board? Those are my questions with Malone. I think right now he's in that three Daddy Soda range, but definitely room to grow. You look at LSU, they've got a pair of players that are really interesting. Trayvon Doral, I talked about going into last year. Pretty well-rounded receiver, you know, 6'1.5", 219 pounds. I like his speed. He's a pretty good route runner for a college receiver as well, and he could be a threat for yards after catch. I don't think he's going to be a dominant starter on the outside. I think he seems to me, I mean, he profiles more as like a number three in my eyes, and whatever that means, you can kind of just picture in my mind. That's kind of how I view him. But his hands are a question. His ability to catch the ball and finish at the catch point are a little bit of a question for me. I would say he's in that 2.5 to 3 Daddy Soda range as a potential starter down the road. Dupree is a better prospect, though. He's an underclassman. He's going to be a junior this year. He was a five-star kid coming out of high school, 6'4", 195. Solid athlete. I don't think he's going to be a consistent deep threat in the NFL, but he can win at the top of his route with separation, quickness, in and out of breaks. And we've talked in the past about how I value that much more than top-end speed. He's got a good combination of length and ball skills. Excited to see him with another year of development. They do a really good job of cultivating that receiver talent down there on the Bay Isle. Future starter on the outside. I think he's probably in that 3.5 Daddy Soda range. And then the last guy I want to talk about from Ole Miss, 6'2", 211. That's DeMaurier Stringfellow. Played his first year last year with the Rebels. He's going to be a junior this year. Three questions surround Stringfellow. One, how athletic is he ultimately? Two, can he improve as a route runner? And three, will he check out off the field? Transferred from Washington, had some issues there. I think there were some assault charges, had to transfer out. If he can answer two of those three questions positively, I think he'll be a relatively high pick, because he's got great size, he's got very good hands, very natural ball skills. But right now, I want to see him improve in some of those areas that I said earlier. I would put him in that three Daddy Soda range as a potential starter. Excited to see how he develops this year going into his third year now with Ole Miss. I want to see him just get a little bit better, but I see him as more of a rotational possession guy right now if he were to enter the league. So I'm very excited to see him develop this year as a junior.
Hard to believe, Fran, that the tight ends we're going to talk about, because it's the same guys we talked about last year. It's hard for me to believe that neither one of these guys went pro, O.J. Howard or Evan Engram.
Yeah, I was surprised at least one of them didn't go. And both of them are very talented players. I mean, you mentioned Howard, 6'6", 248 pounds. I've been watching this kid now. It feels like forever. This will be my fourth year studying him because I studied him after his true freshman season. Everyone remembers the performance he had in the championship game a year ago, and he can be that type of player. And honestly, Ross, I kind of think that's why he went back, is that they're promising that he's going to be more of a featured role in that offense. And now if you're saying, okay, is he a one-game wonder, or is he going to be a key part of this offense now moving forward into 2016 on a week-to-week basis? And that'll be something that's very, very interesting because he can be a weapon in the passing game, really starting to get it as a blocker as well, because you saw that athletic ability even as a true freshman. I remember him taking a quick slant back to the house back in, what was it, 2013 now at this point. He's always had the athletic ability, but he has taken steps each and every year as an inline blocker. So now you're talking about a player that can be a three-down guy, really versatile. I'm really excited about O.J. Howard. I would put him in that four Daddy Soda realm as a potential impact starter in the NFL. And then you go to Evan Engram at Ole Miss. He's a little bit smaller, 6'3", 233 pounds. Like Howard, Engram can be a dynamic weapon in the passing game. I believe he's a little bit underused in that offense, also like Howard, but he's a threat to change the game at any point. And that's how I think he'll be in the league as well. He's not going to be a big man's tight end that's going to go up and win on those fades and those contested catches. But with the right coach, I think he'll be very effective because his abilities in space. I'd say he's in that 3.5 Daddy Soto realm right now as a potential starter down the road. Want to see him improve as a blocker a little bit at the point of attack. And how productive he will be will depend on the scheme that he ends up in. But I really like him as a player.
O-line, we talked about Cam. We talked about Pochick. Let's move on. Is there anybody else on the O-line that definitely worth talking about?
Yeah, real quick on Cam. You know, I had mentioned a little bit with Mike. He gave up a lot of sacks last year. And, I mean, Ross, I had him for 10 penalties last year. So you're talking about 10 penalties. I have him for 8 sacks. So if you had 18 of those negative plays over, what, a 15-game season, I don't even know if I'm trying to remember now if he even played all 15 games. That's not good. So I want to see him be a little bit more consistent this year for sure. But if you go down the line a little bit, and I know this guy's gotten into a little bit of trouble as well, but Alphonse Taylor stood out to me when I was watching Cam on it, and he's the starting right guard for them, just under 6'6", 352 pounds, strong, tough, smart player inside. He battled against some of the top competition a year ago. Really fun to watch on tape. I think he's got some scheme versatility as long as they don't put much value on movement, because he's not the most quickest or the most nimble of foot guy. We'll play. He can play at the next level though. Now he's got some off the field stuff that'll need to be checked out, but he's nasty between the lines. I remember a play against LSU. He climbed up to the second level on the linebacker and rode him 5 seconds, 10 yards downfield, torquing him right and left before drawing a penalty after the linebacker ripped his helmet off. Really just got after him. It was a great play to watch. I saw that last year as I was studying Cam Robinson. 3 Daddy Soda ranking I would give Alphonse Taylor. I think he's got starting potential. And then you go to Georgia. One of the guys that's been leading the way for Nick Chubb is Greg Pike. 6'5", 319 pounds, a guard up front for the Bulldogs. Smart, tough. He's a little bit of a grinder up front and still needs a lot of work with his hands before I would say he can be counted on as a starter at the next level. But even then, I'm not sure that he's got all the athletic traits to be that effective player that can play down in, down out in the NFL. But I still like the player. I just think he's probably got lower upside than some of the other guys we've talked about. I would put him more in that 2.5 Daddy Soda range as an NFL backup.
How about on the defensive line, Fran? Obviously, we talked about Myles Garrett a little bit. There's a couple of Alabama kids getting a lot of attention as well.
Yeah, Alabama's loaded up front, as you can imagine. Once again, we talked about it last year, and this year it's no different. Some slightly different body types than what we've seen, though, in the past. You know, a lot of people are really excited about Tim Williams, the edge rusher, just under 6'3", 245 pounds. I can't say right now with confidence that he could be an every down player in an NFL defense, because he wasn't used that way last year with the Crimson Tide. He needs to improve on a few things. He was a sub package player. Can he prove to be a quality run defender, at least hold up in the run game? And that's what he's got to answer. If he can prove to do that, he's going to be a really high pick. But if he has issues in the run game, a lot of people are going to question whether or not he could be a three down defender on the edge in the NFL. So right now, I would say 3 Daddy Sodas, but he can get after the quarterback. I love his burst. I love his flexibility. If he can just prove to be a run defender, you're talking about a guy that's going to be a really high pick. On the other side, Ryan Anderson, who was the strong side outside linebacker for them in their 3-4, 6'2", 258 pounds, He's the opposite of Tim Williams. Really good run defender. I think he's a smart pass rusher. You know, he knows how to use his hands. And those kind of guys I put a lot of value on. You know, I talked about that in the past. Pass rush skill. Ryan Anderson has that. He may not start, but he can really be a really strong role player, whether it's as a strong side linebacker in a 4-3, an outside backer in a 3-4, a DN. I think he's got some positional versatility, kind of like a poor man's Ryan Kerrigan. I'm anxious to see his athletic numbers. That'll be big for him. Anderson's a really fun player. And then Jonathan Allen, we actually talked about him a few weeks back, really disruptive the last 2 years. Excited to see him in a more traditional three-down role because he was kind of a sub-package player for them in the past few years. Jonathan Allen, I think, is in that four-daddy soda range. He might be the best player on that defense. So Allen's a really fun player. We go around the conference, and I think I've mentioned this, Ross. This conference is loaded with defensive front seven disruptors. And you go to Mizzou, Charles Harris, 6'3", 235 pounds, really advanced pass rusher for his age. If he can continue to get bigger and stronger, he's going to be a starter in the NFL. Really love his burst, his anticipation coming off the line, array of pass rush moves. He won in a lot of different ways. He gets it as a pass rusher. I think he can step in and be a Pro Bowl player pretty quickly, probably in that four and a half daddy soda range. Really love Charles Harris. Arden Key from LSU, 6'6", 256 pounds. He's built like the Barkevious Mingos and the Daniel Hunters from during their time there. Great flexibility, really high motor, ton of fun to watch. Three daddy soda right now. I just want to see him get a little bit bigger and stronger, but I love watching Arden Key. Derek Barnett has now been doing it for, this will be his third year at Tennessee, 6'3", 268 pounds, really high motor. And again, like Harris, can win in a number of different ways, various techniques on both sides. They line him up and down the line of scrimmage, and he's always finds a way to beat the man across from him. So I really like Derek Barnett. He knows how to rush the passer, and he can defend the run equally well. I think he's a future starter. 3.5 daddy sodas for Derek Barnett. Carl Lawson is a really interesting name, 6'2", 261. He may be one of the wild cards in this draft because he's got that burst, that ability to win off the edge, but he's never been able to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, I think he could be a first-round talent off the edge. Three daddy sodas for Carl Lawson. Mike mentioned the guy playing across from Miles Garrett in Day-Day Hall, senior edge rusher, 6'6", 256 pounds. I like Day-Day Hall, man. I you know that I really love the edge rusher from Illinois. I like Day-Day Hall probably as the right behind him. You know, very well-rounded player. He can rush the passer. He can hold up in the run game. He can drop in coverage if you need him. I like the fact that he relies more on his hands than in his feet to win as a pass rusher. I think he's got starting potential, though his overall upside may not be too high. I would put him in that three daddy soda range. Ross, I can keep going. I mean, it's Lorenzo Carter from Georgia. You know, the Florida's got a couple kids. Fadol Brown from Ole Miss. The SEC is just loaded with front seven players this year.
Well, they're loaded with talent, period. But here's what we're going to do, Fran. We're going to tease a little bit for the linebackers and the guys in the secondary for next week. Or else we will go ahead and do a special podcast, or we'll just make sure to feature these guys when we break down their games, because we've already had a beastly college draft podcast today. Plus, I like to show a little leg a little bit, if you will. And we'll tease, we'll get into Jared Davis and Reuben Foster and some other guys next week, in addition to breaking down the big games. Or maybe we'll save them for week two, Fran, when there aren't as many great games. We'll finish the rest of the SEC, because the SEC is just that beastly. For right now, though, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.